Plus, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Federal Reserve is keeping its main interest rate steady, but indicated cuts will come this year. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
When you hear the Fed say no change, we can afford to be patient, I think this is that extra uncertainty around what's the tariff situation going to mean for the economy.
President Trump spoke to Ukraine's president today. There weren't a lot of details released, but analyst Steven Sestanovich of the Council of Foreign Relations believes that's telling.
Unfortunately, both the call to Putin yesterday and the call to Zelensky today make clear that, you know, their interests, their requests and needs are not very much aligned.
Israel has resumed ground operations in Gaza. Linda Gradstein reports.
The families of these hostages are very upset about these latest developments and say that the government is basically condemning those who are still alive to be killed in the Hamas tunnels.
The Dow is up 383 points. The CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. The Wisconsin Rapids Common Council held their regular monthly meeting last night. Item 5 on the agenda addressed approving No Mow May for the city this year. City resident Elizabeth Whalen is the project leader for Monarch and Pollinator Encouragement Project through Clean Green Action, as well as working with Wild Ones of Central Wisconsin.
We've actually learned a lot, and maybe we're kind of considering and hoping to go towards a slow-mow summer.
She said that a one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work for everyone. They would like to provide more educational information to residents on how the program would benefit both pollinators and residents. Alderperson Patrick Delaney spoke in favor of the program as a whole.
It is well received. A lot of people do it. I haven't heard one complaint about No Mow May.
Delaney made the motion to approve No Mow May without the requirement to register or put a sign in your yard. The motion passed 6 ayes to 2 nays. City residents won't be required to keep their lawns under 6 inches until June 4th. Another item on the council agenda was the charter ordinance to change the mayor's term from 2 years to 3 years. This passed the common council with a unanimous vote. Alderperson Madeline Palmquist motioned to approve, Delaney seconded, and the charter ordinance was approved 8 ayes to 0 nays. This change will not take effect until the next election cycle. Eligible school districts and charter schools across the state can now apply for grants to help students with disabilities navigate the transition from school to employment and post-secondary education. The Wisconsin Department of Instruction opened the application period on March 17th. Applications must be submitted before midnight on May 1st. You can find more information and apply at dpi.wi.gov. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers add a receiver from the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers picking up a wide receiver and returner in free agency. He's Mecole Hardman, who earned 3 Super Bowl rings with the Kansas City Chiefs. Hardman, who turned 27 last week, suffered a knee injury last season. He'll sign a 1-year deal with Green Bay. NBA, the Bucks losing last night at Golden State 104-93. Steph Curry sat out for the Warriors. The Bucks have lost 5 of their last 7 games. March Madness underway. The Wisconsin Badgers arrive in Denver last night for tomorrow afternoon's game against Montana at 12:30.
I think quick turn, go play, right? Don't dwell on, hey, we got to the championship game, we didn't get it done, now let's go on to next, we get to play in another one. We just focused on a 4-team, 2-game tournament. We have to win Thursday if you want to get Saturday. You know, as I've always said, that all the bad teams are probably waking up about right now on spring break, somewhere with their feet in the sand, and the really good ones are still playing.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A winter storm warning continues through this evening for snow showers and an additional 1 to 3 inches. A strong breeze with gusts above 30 miles an hour, producing blowing snow. Cloudy overnight, a low in the low 20s. Sunny tomorrow, high upper 30s.
Right now it's 33.
The Todd Allbus Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. The chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler, joins us to talk about the April 1st election and more. Be there.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, March 19th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today, we're going to speak with our friends from UW Extension. We have Kazua Tao joining us. Looking forward to talking with her. And joining us right now in studio, our good friend, Rock Larson, Wood County Veterans Services Officer. Rock, it is always good to have you in studio. Talk with you. How you been?
Been good, been busy, but that's what they pay us for, what you pay us for.
Right.
The taxpayers of Wood County, so yeah.
You mentioned it being busy. Certainly, as we are in tax season, it is a busy time for many of us, including our veterans. Let's talk a little bit about tax benefits for our veterans, Rock, and what could be known or might not be known by some of our vets out there.
Okay. Well, one, any federal VA benefit is non-taxable. So you won't get a 1099 or any document from them. So if you're getting, a 10% service-connected disability, $175 a month, you're not going to get a document from them to report on your taxes. You can report that income when you're going out for a loan, and you need to do it if you're going for a needs-based program like energy assistance or food stamps. But for tax purposes, that's free. If you have a disability, and it's been quite a while, maybe you ought to think about has it gotten worse? And we can explore that because it's not a static thing. I mean, you got out of service, you had a 10% 20 years ago. If that 10% was for a knee or even a 0% for a knee or a back condition or whatever, probably has gotten a little worse or caused some other issues. And we'd love to help you explore that and maybe rein some more federal money into Wood County. In addition, we're getting a lot of business now with the Wisconsin property tax credit because all of a sudden we try to catch it when they're first eligible, but like I had one person a couple weeks ago who bought a house finally, and another person who had 5 years residency because it was, if you don't enter service from Wisconsin, you have to be a resident for 5 years before they'll waive your property tax. And that's only for 100% disabled veterans or veterans getting 100% level because they have individual unemployability. Mm-hmm. Or if the veteran is deceased, the surviving spouse, if the veteran was rated 100% service-connected at the time of his death, or if they're in receipt of dependency and indemnity compensation. So somebody may have not been rated, but after his death, like we talked earlier about the PACT Act several times, it added new disabilities and new locations for disabilities and presumptive illnesses. And if they die of that, because of that bill, the spouse, even though the veteran may have died years ago, is now eligible for dependency and indemnity compensation. So that would, you still pay your property taxes, but when you then do your Wisconsin tax return, you get currently 100% of your property tax for your primary resident and up to 1 acre of land. So it's a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
And the community doesn't suffer because they still pay it And the school district gets it, and Mid-State gets it, and the county, which pays my salary, gets it, which is a good thing. I like getting paid. but if your spouse was a veteran and was served during the Vietnam era and passed away, or served in the Gulf and had, you know, many cancers and respiratory conditions and stuff that we talked about all before. Mm-hmm. But you can still, even though it's been years later, file for that disability benefit, dependency and indemnity compensation. Or, once again, if the veteran, definitely come and see us. So those are the tax bits. We get a lot of questions on if, for the past several sessions of the state legislature, there's been a bill to reduce that threshold to 70% service-connected. That has not passed. I'm anticipating it will be reintroduced again this year. Made it almost last year, so it's time you reach out when you're talking to your state legislators and let them know that, hey, you support this. Or not, I mean, but hopefully you do. And what that would bring it then, they tweaked it a bit, so they put in some thresholds. So the McMansions, you know, like some people really don't need, they'll take the tax credit, but they don't need it. But so they put in some thresholds on the property value, only up to a certain amount, and I can't remember all the details. They also put in, you know, the bill would be that if you're 70% service-connected disabled, you would get 70% of your property tax reimbursed. There's also been a move to try to get that to be renter's insurance. Or renter's.
Right.
And it was in the governor's budget, which is his wish list, and now the legislature is saying, well, we'll present our wish list, and it'll work through. But what that was is similar to the, I believe it's a homestead credit, whereas if you're 100% service connected, or I think his budget also was a 70%, depending on if you paid your heat, or if your heat was paid by your landlord, it was a 25% of your rent would be a tax credit if you paid your heat, and 20% if the landlord paid it, or vice versa. Anyway, those are ideas being out there that could help those disabled veterans who do not own their own home. So that would be a wonderful benefit if it were to come through the legislative process. So those are things out there on taxes and the wish list and things that are being floated.
Oh, Rock, this one, like many of our listeners out there, hits close to home. My Uncle Tim fought in Vietnam, him and my Aunt Sherry are, in this group of some of the people you're talking about here and everything. And I have to say, my Aunt Sherry is one of the smartest people I've ever known. And I don't know if she knows some of this stuff. I don't know if how much of this she even understands about some of this stuff. I'm listening. I'm very in tune with what you're telling me right here. And I feel like I need to be taking notes as you're telling me this.
All you need to know is our phone number.
Exactly. Thank you. You teed me up perfectly, Rock. I wanted to let the audience know that, you know, certainly if you have questions, as Rock has told us many times, that's what he's there for. That's what Lita and all the people there are there for, to be able to help answer these questions and make sure that we take care of our vets. And regardless of what's going on a governmental level or Washington or any of these things, on a local level, there are certain things we can do. You mentioned calling our representatives and certainly sharing this information and making sure that our local veterans understand, know about their benefits, know about the things that are available to them.
Correct. I'll throw it out right away. Our phone number is 715-421-8420, and we're there because we do this every day and we still have questions and have to look stuff up. There's so many details. I had an email this morning from a widow of a veteran who died of a Gulf War illness a couple of years ago. And she was asking about follow-on education benefits because she's thinking about going back to school. And, you know, that's the type of things. As that, I mean, one, she better recheck, should get her state tuition if she goes to a state school waived. But also she's got federal GI Bill benefits depending on if she's going to school less than half-time, full-time, three-quarter time, full-time. Like half-time is $890 a month, plus you can have your tuition paid. So, I mean, there's some substantial benefits that people have really, and they try. Yeah. There are websites, but they're confusing as heck, and they're just moving. And so we're the local representative, and everyone calls up and asks, oh, well, you're being affected by whatever's going on in the federal government. We work for you. We're paid by you. We're county employees. We will be here. Might take us, whatever happens on the federal side, you know, is going to happen, and we're here to help you navigate through it.
Rock, when it, you know, every year, just for any everyday citizen, you know, tax laws change from year to year, and it can be a little bit difficult to keep up with. With this, we've touched on some of these things. Are there anything else that people should be aware of, especially, I mean, our veterans should be aware of when it comes to tax time?
Oh, boy. Well, also, if you're enrolled in VA health care, there you do get a document, I believe, and it qualifies you for having coverage under the Affordable Health Care Act. So you don't pay a penalty, and I have no idea what the penalty is because tax laws, a whole different set of the big tax or the big laws that I deal with and try to be an expert on. But that's a way to minimize whatever penalties they might be able to put on you by not having insurance. If you can get eligible, and there's all sorts of different ways. It's a whole nother lane of our business is getting people enrolled in VA healthcare. And it could be based on if you're service-connected, you can be enrolled. If you're served in certain areas, you can automatically be enrolled. After all those weird little, this one gets you in, this one gets you in, this one, it comes down to how much money you make. Can you afford to purchase your own health care or not? And it's not a real low threshold. It's not really high either, you know. But it's, and it takes family income. But we're here to guide you through that. And hopefully, as I always say, my job is to do anything short of fraud to get you a benefit.
Right. And we appreciate that. There was a topic that I did want to bring up with you, Rock, and I don't really have a question here or anything, but I do think that it's something worth talking about. We ask our community all the time for our citizens out there to support our veterans and support those that protected freedom, protected democracy, are the reason we could do fun little shows like this and so many of these other things. But I'm curious, and I've talked to veterans about this, that support, it means more than any of them could ever put into words, and they're very appreciative of it. What it means for other veterans to support veterans. I feel like this may seem like it goes hand in hand, like, of course, this would be a thing. But unfortunately, I'm seeing more and more of people who have enlisted, who have fought for our country, that now are veterans, are now removed from the military, but don't seem to be remembering their roots and don't seem to be supporting their fellow veterans. How important is it to you, to the staff there, you believe, supporting the visual of this, veterans supporting veterans?
Well, difficult to come up with a quick response, but veterans can support other veterans in all sorts of different ways. And we're so busy and we've got only so much time we can be on our cell phone. We're only 24 hours in a day for you to scroll.
It's true.
You get busy, but even if you're not actively in involved in a post or a unit of a veterans organization, being part of their numbers as they report to the state legislature and the state, you know, because I've been to those hearings and at the federal level, and we're American Legion of Wisconsin, and we represent X number of veterans, and our members are concerned about. So that's a passive way to support. I mean, it's, you know, you buy your membership, you get the newsletter and the National Legion magazine or VFW or DAV. That's one way. Another way that I always tell people when they come into my office or when I bump into them on the street or whatever, and I say, oh, you're enrolled in VA healthcare. Oh, other veterans need it more than me. And we've had this conversation before. Mm-hmm. They may need it more than you, but you being a number in that base, because it's all about the numbers. It's always about the numbers. Mm-hmm. Just being a member and going to get your annual physical or maybe your flu shot once a year through the VA, that means that the resources stay in central Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. As those numbers start dwindling, they're going to go to where the numbers are bigger.
Yeah.
Because that's the way government works. I mean, you look at all this stuff, and how much time do you hear about Dane County and Madison? And because right. those are the population bases, or yeah. the Fox Valley. And we need to be supportive here, even just passively, you know, by being a number mm-hmm. that the commander of the American Legion or their legislative chairman, when they sit in front of that assembly committee, can say this.
Yeah.
So that's a passive way. Another passive way, or not to, is when you see the poppy sales or the forget-me-nots or whatever yeah. each one has.
Brat fries.
Brat fry or whatever. I mean, the little bit of money that you donate or that's made there, they use that to, you know, support American Legion baseball, helps our yeah. kids and youth programs, or the Badger Boys State, or Camp American Legion, where veterans can go and get a relaxing, rehabilitative stay in the Northwoods. Had a gentleman come in, elderly gentleman a while back, and wanted to know, hey, how can I donate to this, to Camp American Legion? He's just got some 401k money that he's not using and needs to use type thing. And he, thank goodness. I mean, great for him. He's in a position and he's mm-hmm. thinking about helping veterans. So there's ways there. But these people don't just, these posts and whatever, they use that money mm-hmm. in the community. They do community services. They go out and they do veterans honors at funerals. They, like I said, American Legion, the American Legion Auxiliary does all sorts of different things. So there's lots of ways yeah. to support without having it be a burden on your busy schedule, taking right, away right. from your, you know, I get it. You know, there's a gazillion channels on TV. There's your phone. There's your spouse. There's your children. There's your job. I mean, our lives are full. It's a lot different than 50, 60 years ago yeah. when, you know, there really wasn't as much stuff going on. Things were moving slower, you know. But those are the things that can help keep...
keep us with keep these us benefits. And certainly the help and the attention yeah. that this deserves and needs. Yeah. And just to piggyback on that, something you mentioned before, Rock, about contacting your representatives, your local representatives, when there are causes and things happening with our veterans that are important to you, and reaching out to them and letting them know that as a constituent, as their boss, this is important to you. Because let's never forget that we are the boss here. We the people. We are the ones that are trying to get these things make a better world every day for our communities and for our veterans. And I will say, too, as you were saying there before, about whether it's brat fry sales or the poppy seed things, when you have these in your town, in your community, not only being a part of them, but spreading the word about them, letting people know, hey, over the IGA on Westside, that they're there today, or that kind of thing, spreading the word about that, being involved in these events when you can, and being there. And one thing that doesn't cost you a darn thing, And we can all do, every single person out there. I may not know all of you, but I know you can do this. Support. Support, encouragement, cost nothing, can mean everything. If you show your support to these veterans, to these causes, whether it's on a global level, a local level, or just a one-on-one level when you're walking into a grocery store and you see them selling brats or something like that, make eye contact, say hello, certain things. That it may not seem like a big deal to you, but I promise you it means something to them.
Yeah. Another big thing that goes a long way and is nothing more than being sociable. You see a guy or gal going through and they've got some military article, you know, whether it's their ship's name on their hat or Vietnam veteran or Iraqi veteran or what. Thank them for their service. Yeah. I mean, you just see them, and, you know, because I'm pretty low key. I do have a sticker on my car, but other than that, you know, mm-hmm. I really don't look like I spent 26 years in the military walking around. Sure. Often. Sometimes I'll have a sweatshirt or something on, but not often. But when I come up and they don't know me, you know, and I say thank you for your service, you just see them brighten up.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Another thing to point out to veterans, to get involved a bit, to know the benefits out there. Because if a veteran is in need or hurting, or you see them referring them to us or referring them to the VA healthcare clinic, or that's important. One, it makes a better quality of life for them, but also if we use state and federal VA resources to help solve a problem or an issue with somebody in our community, that frees up all the other elements of our community to help somebody who isn't a veteran.
Right.
You know, so if we can use a veteran's mental health program, say, and that would free up our county social services resources. Veterans are still eligible for all those resources, but if we can use a different resource or a housing voucher, HUD-VASH is a program the VA has, and HUD, they have their own vouchers for that. So our local HUD vouchers are not used. We're using a VA lane one.
Right.
And so there are different ways to just support the whole community by supporting the veterans and using their resources to multiply the good that's done in our community.
Well said, and I always appreciate the time from your Rock. If people have follow-up questions, they'd like to know more, reach out to you. How can they do that again?
Okay, once again, our phone number is 715-421-8420. They can also reach us on the county website, has our email. It's veterans@woodcountywi.gov. And that comes to the general inbox, and either Ben or Lita will handle that, hopefully, unless it's something that's beyond or sensitive or really weird or something that might blow up, then they pass it to me.
Oh, sure. thank you again, Rock, for your service, for your time here, and certainly for everything you do for our community. We'll talk again real soon.
Wow, that time always goes fast.
It really does.
We really didn't
it?
Have a plan.
It really does, and it goes by quick. We appreciate you, man. Thank you for the time. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up here at WFHR.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that bill?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that bill?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that bill?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. The madness.
Blackwell inside, and he sends it down with the right hand.
Starts.
Tanjay with bad intentions.
Now.
Long three, left side, bucket.
It's the NCAA tournament. Join us Thursday, live from Denver, Colorado. It's Wisconsin and Montana. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Wisconsin basketball.
To the rim, slam dunk, Connor Gilmore.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you thought winter weather was over, it's not. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot with what to expect about this incoming system.
A significant storm is hitting the state, bringing heavy rain to the south and prompting winter storm warnings to the north, where a half of a foot to nearly a foot of snowfall is expected to fall. Paired with winds gusting to 40 miles per hour, whiteout conditions are likely, and so are some power outages, especially as the heavy snow piles up on tree limbs and power lines. And with temperatures hovering in the low 30s, it'll be a wet and slushy type of snow.
Whiteout conditions are likely, and so are some power outages, especially as the heavy snow piles up on tree limbs and power lines. Shovel in shifts and take breaks while clearing. This heavy and slushy snow is called heart attack snow for a good reason. Overexertion in these cold temperatures can cause sudden cardiac arrest. Early last month, a DNR conservation warden collected a dead snowy owl in New Glarus and submitted it to the National Wildlife Health Center in Madison for diagnostic testing. The result? Intestinal worms, which is common in birds of prey. They also tested it for bird flu, which came back negative. The owl's location drew in dozens of visitors. The DNR worried it might hurt their health. Despite no indication that human disturbance was involved in the owl's death, this case highlights that looks can be deceiving. For most of its stay, the owl seemed to be doing fine, with many stories of its being active and catching prey. It did not appear to be starving, yet it was, for at least the final stages of its life, trying to conserve its limited energy. Survival for wild animals is a challenge, even without humans. Disease, predators, injury, weather, unfamiliar territory, and inexperience are all natural factors that can lead to death. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. People on social media have been raving about the show Adolescence. They might be onto something, as it is the highest rated show on Netflix for the week of March 10th. The show was discovered by over 24 million viewers between Thursday and Sunday of last week. That's 5 million more viewers than Robert De Niro's Zero Day received, which premiered February 17th. Adolescence almost drew more viewers than a horribly reviewed Chris Pratt Millie Bobby Brown movie, The Electric State, which took in just over 25 million viewers. Regarding episodic shows, the comedy Running Point finished in second place behind Adolescence with just over 9 million viewers. If you're in the mood for some laughs, check it out as Kate Hudson plays an executive who finds herself running an NBA basketball team. So much bingeable color TV to check out, but your time is valuable. So choose wisely, my fellow couch potatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A winter storm warning continues through this evening for snow showers and an additional 1 to 3 inches. A strong breeze with gusts above 30 miles an hour producing blowing snow. Cloudy overnight, a low in the low 20s. Sunny tomorrow, high upper 30s. Right now it's 33.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We appreciate the groundbreaking efforts of Janine Geske. She dedicated her career to transforming the criminal justice landscape. Geske taught in prison and collaborated with victims groups. She continued to champion for change as a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court during the 1990s. And in recognition of her impact, she was named the Milwaukee Bar's Lawyer of the Year twice. She also made history in 2002 as the first and still the only woman to serve as Milwaukee County Executive, an interim role worked without pay. Geske's now a professor of law at Marquette University's Restorative Justice Initiative, which she founded in 2005. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Jane Mantner.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll talk to Top Chef superfan Luke Mathers about his excitement over having another Wisconsinite as a chef testant.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, March 19, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our friend, Cao Zua Tao, is with us. She is the bilingual community health worker over at UW Extension. Cao, it's good to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, James. It's been a while, and I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, we were joking in our pregame. It's been too long. You got this whole strong bodies thing. No, we're kidding. It's a great program that we're going to actually be talking about in just a little bit. But a great idea, I thought, since it has been a while, and we thought would be a good place to start, is an overview of bilingual community health working and the role this takes in Wood County.
Yeah, so my role really is to help bridge the gaps by connecting the individual clients that I see to healthcare resources around the area or just central Wisconsin. We're trying to reduce the stigma, so I've been doing presentations around the state, in the county, just at different organizations about the Hmong community and like mental health and substance use. And we're just trying to promote like culturally relevant health education and support for those folks, just because you don't know what you don't know.
Very well said. One thing, we've touched on this before. One of the things that I believe that one of the quickest ways and best ways to defeat misinformation or hate or anything like that is just straight up facts, mm-hmm. and just information. Oftentimes the things people fear or they quote unquote like is just because they don't know anything about them. Mm-hmm. And one of the joys of this, I think, is certainly the more empathy and more tolerance that exists. But the idea of showing how much we are connected, how much we have in common, how much we are alike. Mm-hmm. I think food is one of the great ways of doing this where, oh, you use that ingredient too? I use that. Or I grew up on this food too. You guys did also. And seeing how connected we are, how much we have in common. And it genuinely, I think the more we find that we have in common, the more it helps us highlight our uniqueness and the things that have us stand out and everything. There's other ways you guys are doing this too, connecting individuals and families with health resources.
Mm-hmm. There are. I meet with clients one-on-one, or sometimes I do programming out in the community, and they'll come up to me and say, hey, Kazua, I'm going through this, or I need support with that. Could you help me? And so I'm able to find the different resources in the community to support them with what they need. And like I said before, whether it's health, any kind of healthcare, oral, dental, medical, vision, I try to support them with that. Sometimes it's with language barriers, and so I help and them make those phone calls, and we schedule it together. I sit down with them, and I really support them so that from behind the scenes, so that they know and understand that they can do this all by themselves. They really don't need an interpreter to do it for them. One example is I had a lady who I was meeting with one-on-one, and she needed dental appointments for her kiddos just because it's very difficult to find a dentist for any new patients in the area, correct? And especially when they are on Medicaid, it's very difficult mm-hmm. to find anybody who would take that insurance. And so we were able to find one, and she really needed me to just sit next to her, but she talked to the receptionist and she made the appointments and she was able to do it all by herself. But I think just being there physically and supporting her, she found that confidence. And so that really is my role. I don't want to do it for you. I'll do it with you. I'll walk with you. I'll guide you, but I want to empower you so that you have the ability to do it by yourself, so that I'm not always there.
Yeah. Which is not only a great thing to hear about, but a great opportunity for these individuals to really be do everything that they want to do, all the things that they're looking for and the independence they're looking for and that they deserve. And I don't know if this is the right word for it, but the dignity they deserve. Mm-hmm. And I bring up dignity in part because of what I wanted to bring up next, and something that I'm proud of, and I'm proud that you guys are doing. And, you know, almost anybody we talk to at UW Extension, mental health will come up. And it's a topic that we have, as a society, gotten much more comfortable with. And I'm very proud of our world. We don't do this enough. Give society a pat on the back for once. And like, hey, here's a topic we're good with now, where we're talking about. But it's also where the real work comes in now, where now that we're okay with talking about this, now we got to start looking in the mirror, or we got to start helping out our fellow neighbors and individuals and strangers helping strangers, and focusing on different organizations or different groups. Something that you have been eye-opening to me and many about, and talking with other Hmong individuals about, is mental health in the Hmong community, and how this has been a stigma for a very long time, talking about this, sharing these things. Again, finding this commonality between this and, quite honestly, being quite blunt, Midwesterners, and my fellow Midwesterners, which I am one of, and I am just as guilty of and everything, but this is something that is a commonality I see, and I think in that we can find some real help to make some strides in this field. And it's something that you and your team are working very hard at in the Hmong community.
Yes. And like you just hit it right on the spot. It is still a very stigmatized topic within our community. We have clients who are going through mental health struggles. However, at the same time, they refuse to talk to family members because it's such a taboo topic, or family members would be like, oh, you're fine, there's nothing wrong with you. And so it's just, we are trying to bring awareness and knowledge to the Hmong communities, because it is a very like hush-hush topic. And so I think the more we talk about it, the more we educate the Hmong community, the bringing more awareness to it, I think the folks will eventually except the fact that it is something that truly is happening within our community as well, not just, oh, the general community. It doesn't affect the Hmong community. It does. And so I think that's just something, a mindset that we have to change. And like I said earlier, just bringing that awareness and that education piece to it. And hopefully one day that we can openly talk about mental health in the Hmong community.
I get a little tired of this as a Jew Italian, because I get put into this box sometimes with these things and to get asked to speak for my whole people or something like that. So I don't mean to do that to you. But as a younger Hmong person, are you seeing some growth in this with the younger generation, that they're getting better with this topic, they're getting more comfortable with it and everything?
Oh, definitely. Especially with those who have gone through the education system within just the last 10, even 20 years. I feel like those folks are more open and more aware of the things that are going around. And so they are the ones that are raising the new generation, and they're more open about the mental health and willing to openly talk about it with family members and friends. And so we're starting to see that it's becoming an open, more open topic in discussion with the younger folks, but it's still hard to tackle those who are older, who are going through these things but refuse to talk about it.
And you mentioned before a little bit of this, of the support that you're able to give to these individuals who are navigating our healthcare system, or transportation coordination, just all kinds of different things. Interpretation is a big part of this.
It is. It is. And I really support anybody. I always say I will never turn anyone away. Even if you're not Hmong and you're seeking support, I will help you. That's just kind of who I am. But even if I don't have the answers, I will find the answers for you, or refer you to somebody who has those answers. And so I've supported people with not just the healthcare system, but with the legal system and child support. And there's just so many different things. And I'm not an expert on anything, but I will help you find the answer, and we'll walk this path together.
I don't know. You got some expertise in you. I see a bit of that. So overall, what would you say is your goal with this program, with this organization, with what you're doing here?
So as a bilingual community health worker, it's finding the resources. But the goal for me is to empower the folks that I work with, so that they can become independent community members and be able to do what they want to do without having to wait on somebody. They know more than they think they do. It's just somebody needs to be there to tell them, you can do this, you've got this. And so once that's done, they take off and they really don't need my support anymore.
Yeah, and you're doing some great work over there. You really are. You and the whole team at UW Extension, you guys are doing some great work. We're speaking with Kazua Tao, bilingual community health worker with our UW Extension. And you got some cool upcoming programs coming up, Kyle, I wanted to touch on.
I do. So it's been in the works for a while now. I think the last time I spoke to you back in the fall, this was kind of a conversation that I was having with the Lowell Center. But we have a Tai Chi for arthritis and fall prevention starting at the Lowell Center in April. We're starting at April 16th. It's at no cost. It's Mondays and Wednesdays from 12:45 to 1:45. And Tai Chi, this is a Tai Chi that is evidence-based. It's low impact, slow motion exercise. It originated in China as a martial arts, but it's involved, like it's evolved. And now it's a series of gentle movements and physical postures and controlled breathing and just a very meditative state of mind. We meet twice a week for 8 weeks, and it really helps folks with like their strength and flexibility and balance, and it helps reduce the fall of the risk of falling in older adults by 45%. People who have done this Tai Chi for arthritis and fall prevention has seen that their stress levels have gone down dramatically because they are able to do a lot of things by themselves and they know that they're safe. And so that has also helped their emotional well-being. And so all in all, it's such a great program. So we are offering it at the Lowell Center. It is a limited slot. We have limited registration. We might be at almost at our top maximum already capacity. And so that's super exciting. However, at the same time, if you call and there's a wait list, it's great to know that there are folks that still want to do this. And so we will definitely be offering it again in the future. But you can call the Lowell Center at 715-421-1051 to register. And if it's full, you can definitely ask to be put on the wait list for future as well.
I've done a little of this, and I cannot tell you how hard it is to get my brain to slow down or calm down or any of these things. Tai Chi is a big help with that, and a big part of what I do to even get close to meditation. It's a very gift, and that's for me. I can't imagine for so many other individuals out there how helpful it would be. And I'm so glad that you brought up this part about arthritis with this, because so often arthritis is one of those things that people, they find out they have and kind of just accept it. And this is something that you don't have to just take. You can have a more comfortable, less pain-free life with certain things like Tai Chi and give it a chance. Another big part of this, everybody, there's no side effects. There's no downside to this. Side effects may include. No, there's none of that here. This is just, you're just going to feel good from it. And there are, you'll find the positive benefits yourself.
Oh, definitely. And this Tai Chi, there are modifications. If it's all a lot of standing up, right? But if you can't, there are sitting, you can do it sitting. There are so many different ways for all abilities, really. And so you can tell me that you can't do it because I can't stand for long. But you know what? We will modify things and we will make it. And you do it to the best of your ability. If I'm doing 10 and you do 5, that's perfectly okay. You're doing it to the best of your ability and we'll just build from there.
Well, yeah, it's really good to hear. Thank you for that. I also got some other things we're planning ahead for.
Yes. So Hmong planning ahead is an end-of-life planning. We've always done the general planning ahead with UW Extension. However, we 3 to 4 years ago, it was brought to the Hmong community, and some folks are like, hey, this is something that's really needed in our community. However, it's not very culturally appropriate. Just how we do things is completely different. So it's been a four-year process for this Hmong planning ahead, and we have finally been able to test it out. I want to say test it out because I had my first, we had our first series, and it was, I always joked with the elders that came that they were my guinea pigs. And they're so comfortable with me that, but it is a 7-session research-based program that will help participants understand how to prepare for the end of life, not just for themselves, but a loved one, right? So it really can just be a family member that comes too. And we highly encourage the participant bring a family member so that you can have that conversation at home or somebody that they truly trust with all of that. So Hmong Planning Ahead is from a cultural view. It covers topics such as how to get started, having this conversation, right? Because nobody wants to have this conversation, and especially in the Hmong community, it is still very...
it's a taboo kind of thing.
Kind of taboo, yeah. Because I'm planning my own funeral. But yet at the same time, we've seen so many instances where nothing is planned and then unfortunately something happens, and then now what? Yeah. Right? The family members who are left behind are grieving, but yet at the same time they're left to plan and they don't have the information. And so it's how to get started with the conversation, and then how to handle financials, advanced medical and legal directives. That's something that's not common in the Hmong community, so we hope to bring that and bring more awareness. Estate planning, a lot of folks think they don't have anything, but once we have that conversation, they're like, oh, I do have quite a bit. Choices in end-of-life care, final wishes, and just understanding grief, right? And so it's not just for the folks that are left behind, but, you know, this is kind of how, for the one who's passed, this is what I want them to remember me as, or, you know, different things of that sort. So we're hoping to have different workshops around the state. We actually have one this coming Saturday, March 22nd. It's from 12 to 5 at Huntington House Basement. It's for Hmong folks, specifically just to get started having this conversation. And we're going to try out this one-day workshop, see how it goes versus the seven-week series that we've always done in the past. But we're hoping that folks come and learn more about the Hmong planning ahead and really start thinking about this topic, because, like you said, it's a very taboo, hush-hush topic within our community. So
In high school, I had a good friend of mine, Tua, and he would talk about worrying about this with his parents and family and everything. And it's something that has been, I'm old, so this has been a topic for quite some time. This has been around for quite a while, and it's great to hear even some work being done on it, let alone the growth that is happening with this topic. It's always a difficult thing because boy, I tell you, whatever. If you don't know enough, go ahead and research or do a deep dive. Or in Hmong culture, it's beautiful. There are so many aspects of it, the history of it. It's just so fascinating to me, and I find it so beautifully unique. At the same time, there's parts of it that you've seen at different moments in history an evolution in it that you don't always see in a lot of cultures. Yeah. So I think there is room for this, and the culture itself has shown that there is room for this. And you yourself are proving this, along with many other individuals out there. It's one of those things that we all have to be patient with and have some time with. As we're wrapping up, I did want to make sure that we took time for the whole reason that we haven't had you in very often is Strong Bodies. You've been so busy with this.
Yes. So I've just wrapped up my second series of Strong Bodies, and we have folks that are continuously coming and whatnot. And it's really fun. I always say that the elders that do attend continuously, one day I want to be like them. You know, they're in their 60s and 70s. I have a lady that's 92, and she's able to come. And she's, even though she's using 2-pounders, she's doing the exercises, and she's able to stay up. And one thing that she mentioned to me was after our second series of Strong Bodies, she's like, Kazua, I can do so much more at home by myself. And you know what? That is the ultimate goal, that creating that independence for them. And so for those that don't know what Strong Bodies is, it's a program it's a strength training program, and it really is to help increase balance and agility, muscle mass and strength, just the overall feeling of health and wellness, and increases bone density. A lot of the folks that come to exercise, but they come for the social connectedness, right? We didn't start till 10, but they came at 9:45 just to have that social time with one another. Sometimes I felt like after we were done with our exercising class, I had to kick them out because they wanted to stay and socialize, which is great. Yeah. But at the same time, we can't stay here for 30 minutes either. So it was just a great thing to see them all come together and just be able to socialize and talk. And they were able to talk even throughout the whole exercise. And so the conversations and the laughter, it was just really great to see this and hear it, because a lot of these elders, older folks, they're home by themselves. They live by themselves or with their spouse. And so they don't have kids anymore. They don't go out and do things. And so they're very isolated. So for them to come in, it was wonderful. I wrapped up with my Hmong Strong Bodies. However, at the same time, Hannah, our nutrition educator at Extension, and I are starting a new series starting in June. It is our summer one. So we'll be team teaching at the Lowell Center It'll be on Mondays and Wednesdays starting June 2nd, and it'll go until August 20th. It's no cost. We try to keep it no cost if possible. It'll be from 10:30 to 12 at the Lowell Center. Registration has not officially opened yet. It will start on March 31st. So if you want to be on in this class, you need to call right away when the Lowell Center opens up, because this class will fill up really, really quick. Again, the phone number for the Lowell Center is 715-421-1051, and that doesn't open up again until March 31st. So make sure you call right away if you would like to be on that.
Write it on your calendar or put it on the calendar in your phone so you get an update or anything. I know that's what I do with a lot of these kind of things. I encourage you to do that, everybody, because it's a great program. And so many great things about it with your balance and agility, the way it can loosen your muscles up, the way it can loosen up your brain, and help with mental health and everything. But I'm so appreciative that you touched on one of my favorite parts of this for all members of our community, in the camaraderie and the friendship and the conversations, the organic things that can just happen when you put yourself out there, when you're in these kind of situations. Again, there is no downsides to something like this. And the registration will be opening up soon. We'll try to keep an eye on it here, too, and let people know in our morning show and that, and remind everybody about that program and when it comes up. And I do want to shout you, of course, all of our friends at Extension, shout out all you guys, but specifically you and those working in this category and what you guys are doing here and the groundbreaking work you're doing here. I don't say that lightly. It is groundbreaking work that will have generational effects in it. You're doing some good stuff over there, and I appreciate the time and understand that you're very busy, but you got to get back here soon, okay? We got to talk again soon.
Will do, James.
If people have follow-up questions, would like to know more and reach out to you, how can they do that?
So they can definitely call our UW Extension main office. The phone number is 715-421-8440.
And we appreciate you, and we'll be talking with Extension again real soon. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Barry Mack, you were supposed to be on the show about 3 weeks ago, but I got really sick. Like, I slept on a mattress that you might have driven to the dump.
Still like last time, I am actively smuggling in mattresses from Minnesota because they recycle them for free.
You should probably keep that on the download.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get any business unless I start talking about it, Pete?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I'm taking a little time off, but not to worry. We've got a special Women's History Month episode for you. I talk with some of my fabulous female colleagues here at Civic Media. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who is hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on this Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump told Ukrainian President Zelensky today that U.S. ownership of Ukrainian power plants could help protect them in the war with Russia. White House spokeswoman Caroline Levitt.
He said that the United States could be very helpful in running those plants with its electricity and utility expertise.
The Justice Department is still battling a federal judge who tried to block the administration from deporting people under the Alien Enemies Act. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The lack of compliance with a court order is a destabilizing thing, and critics of the Trump administration say they are triggering a constitutional crisis in the process.
The Fed kept its key interest rate unchanged today, but Jason Brooks reports it signaled there are cuts on the way.
The market is happy to see that the central bank is still forecasting 2 rate cuts in 2025 in the Fed's updated projection.
The Fed is watching for higher employment and an uptick in inflation. The Dow up 383 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday.